We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us tonight at our midweek Bible study, Vine Grove Baptist Church. Hope and pray you've joined to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Tonight I want us to look at part one of the dynamics of true love and friendship. When I'm talking about true love, I'm talking about true friendship. You cannot have true friendship without having true love. The truth is what sets this true love and true friendship apart from just, I love you and we're friends. It is that true love, the truth of love, which goes straight to the depth of who God is. The power of true love and friendship comes from within, not from without. It is impossible for someone to say, now I'm going to teach you how to be true in your love. It's got to come from within. This is not something that you can learn without. Even when Paul and Peter and them was telling older women, teach the wives. Right in the middle of that one in my mind. Teach them how to love their husbands. I think that's what it was. I wonder who was teaching the husband. But the true love part, we use the word loosely way too often. I love you. Well, I love you goes a lot more than a little kiss, and it goes a lot deeper than just words at the end of the tongue. True love and true friendship can only be attained through a true spiritual walk with Christ. Now, what's a true spiritual walk? That's an individual who has, to the best of their ability, to the best of their spirit, saying, Lord, I believe you. I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. And it is where I turn myself over to you. Now, when we say that, that's accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what we call salvation, or accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, where we're telling him that we believe him and we believe that he is the author of love. Therefore, we're turning our spirit over to him, okay? If I have submitted my spirit to the will of God, why do I do things wrong? Why do I say things I shouldn't say? If I have truly done that, and so many young Christians will say, I must not be Christian. I must, because I've listened to the rest of these older Christians and all, you know, talk about this. So the way I keep messing up, I must not be Christian. The battle that you and I will continue to have while we're in this body is to fight the desires of the flesh. Therefore, when we accept Christ and his true love for us, it is Christ who trains us in his truth and in his love. It is Christ who says, okay, Larry, I'm going to, each day you're going to learn a little something. Well, sometimes we decide that we don't want to learn anything that day. Sometimes we just decide that we're going to walk the other way. You see, when we use little slogans, quips and all of that, that does not under any circumstances show that we truly love. The truth in true love is action. The truth in true love is an individual who had rather have better for you than they have for themselves. That's a parent, should be. Definitely a mother, it should be. And it is that type of love that supersedes the wisdom of man. You've got to remember, folks, the wisdom of man is nothing but knowledge. But when you have the wisdom of God, that's life. You can get all the education, all the doctors, all everything that you want to get and still be dumber than a box of rocks when it comes to wisdom. Not being able to understand the Word of God. That is true love. a true spiritual walk with Christ. And as the Lord leads us, read his book. He's got a great book. Still number one seller of the Bible. Read that, and you will find that he continually directs us in learning. He's teaching us spiritually. He's training us spiritually. Why? We're spirits. That's who we truly are. This body's not going to make it. You all agree with that? This body is not going to make it. But the spirit who we truly are, we are. We are going to make it. So therefore, the Lord says, I'm going to train you. Now here's what ought to get us excited. As we spend a whole lifetime here with Christ training us spiritually, what's he going to do with us later? What do we do with that training? Well, again, from Scripture, it's obvious we're not going to be sitting around doing nothing. And when we're talking about where we will come and we will sing praises to Christ, we'll remember the Lord's Supper. We will continue to take that throughout eternity, and we will recognize who Christ is. But I get excited over what's next. Do you remember, was it Peter, or gosh, let me throw this scripture out and you all tell me on it. It was, seek the Lord in your youth before the days come which you take no pleasure in. Because the time is coming when you'll take no pleasure in those days. Well, see, as a young one like this one, that's hard to think about. The older we get, the more we will think about that. And I'm looking at my own mother at 102, and, she doesn't know anybody. I mean, other than me and the family, meaning she has no friends. All of her friends are dead and gone. And her whole generation is long gone. And she said, Larry, all I can do is just sit here and breathe. And see, I can't help her with that. And she's right. So that's why we do all we can to train up our children in the way they should go, that when they get older, they will not depart from it. Or one of these days, Josh, it's going to hit him, and he's going to say, Dad, I'm sorry, I've had a case of the stupids all these years. But now the Lord has taken hold of me. And you're going to start shouting and just going nuts, kidder. Especially the first sermon he preaches. It will probably be straight to you. Make certain. Now, when God calls you, like I'm called to deal with who nobody else wants to deal with. That's my calling, and that's what I love doing, and that's how, because it's my calling. And I love watching that roughneck, and when you see the glow come on their face, when you see that expression that you recognize that the Lord has just touched him with that special touch. And to get to see that and get to be a part of it, knowing that I didn't have anything to do with it, that God blessed me by letting me be there to see it. Just like today in the office. Folks, I have seen more people led to Christ individually than I've seen walk an aisle in a church in years.
But they just don't walk the aisle.
Nope. And you know what I found out on that, Gene? Remember me telling you the story about the one out of White Mills that time when this kid had accepted Christ, and the preacher get up and says, Pine Grove Baptist Church has now opens its doors to receive new members. And the kid gets up and walks out the back of the church. He thought that's what he's supposed to do. Because the statement used was open the doors of the church to receive. That used to be an old statement that was used, just like voting on people that came forward. All those in favor say aye. Okay. I'll get off that one before I get a new sermon going. Ephesians 3:16-19. I pray that out of his glorious riches, whose glorious riches? God's. He may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, your spirit. Got it? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And we're talking about our spiritual being, our spiritual heart. Because we know that this human heart that pumps blood to us doesn't do any more than pump blood throughout the body. You cut my heart out, does that mean then I'm not a Christian? What if I have to have a heart transplant? Does that mean then, what if that heart came from a non-believer? Does that mean I've got to start all over? No. Think of that. This is nothing but a vehicle. We've got to ever so often just put in a new carburetor and water pump and everything. And be thankful that we have a parts house where we can get them. I'm sorry.
Are you trying to say
Yep, I am. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. See, without love, then Christ cannot be seen in us. If we don't have love, you're going to hear this in a sermon Sunday, I know. But without love, it's love that establishes us, folks. Love has to be our foundation. Love, it comes from Christ, and that true love is the foundation and supersedes all laws. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. You love as I have loved you. And in love, you cannot break laws. And for one thing, law has no power over love. Being rooted and established in love, may have power together. Now this is important for us. May have power together with all the saints. Okay, I'm going to heaven. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. You're going to heaven. And here we are. We're down here on planet Earth seeking God's will for our life. But we need to see God's will for our community life as believers, the church. Look where the power is. The power together with all the saints. The power is when we unite together. That's why we have prayer power. We unite together. The power is in and their strength is in the unity of the army, the unity of the force, the unity of the church. So what does Satan do? He sows seed of discord within a church. If you break the unity of a church, of Christians united together, then what you have done is fallen straight into the hands of Satan. And I tell you all the time that he's the first one here on Sunday. I don't think he leaves. I don't think he ever leaves this building or any other. And if he does, all he does is go out to my truck and wait for me there. All the saints, now listen, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. I can't grasp it with my mind. Folks, and I'll be honest with you, that's a Methodist dog barking. I want you all to know that. You haven't seen it. Wait till the wasps start later. Deep in the love of Christ. And to know this love. To know this love. Not just, I feel your love. I know your love. Jesus says, I loved you. How do I know he loved me? He showed me. That's a love that surpasses knowledge. You get with someone who is really struck on themselves about the worldly knowledge, and you're not going to get much of the wisdom of God. You hear me? And I'm not saying that you don't have a lot of folks who are brilliant with a human knowledge, and a lot of them also have the wisdom of God. And that's a blessing for us. But guess what their greatest temptation is? Their knowledge. They think they pull themselves up by their bootstraps, and I am a self-made man. You bleed. You die. You didn't make yourself very well at all. That you may be filled. Woo! Now listen to this one. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, that true love, the love of Christ, surpasses any knowledge, any understanding. I'm getting excited, Brother Randy. Any understanding, because Christ says, your salvation is dependent on me. Larry, and not only that, like Brother Randy said last Sunday night, your salvation I will finish. Oh, Lord, I thought you'd going to let me finish it. I get to look at it. I'll probably look at it from a casket. But I'll look. No, I won't. I can't be in the casket. But I get to watch Christ build me. And I'm going to be, already am, his warrior. And the closer that you walk with Christ, the more enemies you're going to collect. He is not only that, he will attack. I warn preachers, those going into the ministry, time and time again, protect your family. I did not get to do that with my family. I didn't know to do that with my family. And I watch Faye and Jason and Mom and them go through misery over the years. And it was because of me preaching. As you all know, and I've told you, when I was called to preach, and when my wife came forward and let me know, I know now that God has called you to preach. You go back to school or do what you want to, and I'll take care of us. I had to watch myself on that one because I was vacuuming, washing dishes, and cooking. And Faye, being a banker, she came in one day and said, I think I can get used to this. And I said, don't. That is hard work. Now, but think of that. Then Christ builds you. But every friend we had, folks, just got away from us. These were our Christian friends, we thought. People that did not want to be around us because, you know, Larry's off the deep end. He's a preacher now. I did not know, and then to get into the church and to find out, pastors, you really have to watch themselves because it gets to the point to where you don't go out and eat with anyone except family. You know, you can't have real close friends that anybody knows about. Because, well, looky, he's showing patriotism, partisanship. What am I doing? I'm getting into military and politics at the same time there, aren't I? Partiality, thank you. Well, you know something? Jesus, God says, I am no respecter of persons, right? But he says he's partial to his children. Now, he is no respecter of persons, meaning there's one way, and his name is Jesus. There's one way, his name is Jesus. But when you get to be a part of my family, God says, sit back and watch me take care of the problems in your life. Every one of us right here and now need to understand that we have a lot of problems in our life because we refuse to let it go and let God handle it. That we choose to try to handle it ourselves, and therefore we're miserable. Lord, why have you allowed me to get so miserable? I hate that whining stuff. Shut up, suck it up, and get on your face and say, Lord, forgive me, for I know I'm a sinner. The source of true love and friendship is God himself. 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. So, the source of true love and friendship is God. Well, you know, I truly love you. What does the Lord tell you about me? I don't know who the Lord is. Then you don't know what love is. And let me tell you, I still don't know God's type of love. I still don't love me most of the time. Do you love all the actions every day?
No.
You love that tongue when it gets to flopping at both ends and you said things and think, where did that come from? It came from the tongue. What is it? It is an evil that man cannot tame. To use the small rudder on giant ships, to control a giant ship. But the tongue, no man can tame. I learned that lesson too. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and not in him. Now, even love your enemy. Pray for them, which despitefully use you. And you say, I don't know how to do that. You're right, you don't, neither do I. So God says, Larry, I want you to live in my love. And I know all of us who preach the gospel, we know hell is real. And I know just enough about hell that I don't want anyone going there. And I know that God said the same thing. He is not late in coming. He does not just tarry without a reason. But he is slow so that all may come in, whosoever will. He's waiting for the lost. Okay. The author of love is love. Right? And God ought to know what he's talking about, seeing as how he created love. Before we accepted God's true love or allowed God to become our true friend, God truly loved us, and God is truly our friend. So, I didn't even know God and he loved me. I did not know that God's my friend, but he's my friend. And God looked at me, looked at you, and according to Scripture, he knows those who will come to believe in his Son. That's why you and I don't have a right to try to take a group of people or anyone else and say, no, you're going to hell. Don't ever do that. Don't you ever condemn someone to hell. You don't have that authority. None of us have that authority. What you do is this. I love you. It goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than that with me. I'm not going to be trite about it and say, you know, I hate the sin but love the sinner. That's too trite. I don't like that either. I love people in any condition they are. And I love them when they're sinning. If I'm your friend, I don't cease to be your friend because of sin in your life or mine. If that was the way love works, you and I sin every other breath. We don't even know we're sinning. That's how embedded in the human spirit sin is. So therefore, that true love and true friendship means I love you, period. You know, think of the love that Jesus had. All of this where he begged, and this is getting into Sunday sermon, can't help it. It's a preview, brother Randy. But Jesus says, Father, let's do it another way. I mean, the scripture I'm reading to you Sunday is where Jesus makes the statement, you know, do it another way. And then in that particular comment, he follows up with, nevertheless, let your will be done. Also, it's when he yells, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. He encompasses the separation. And, you know, why have you turned your back on me? Okay. Romans 5:8, But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Does it not bother you all when you hear people say, now here's what you need to do to get saved. You start cleaning yourself up. It just drives me nuts to hear people say that. Now I want to get you on the right path. Here's how you need to dress. I want you taking all those swords out of your nose and your eyeballs. And I don't care how many swords they have in their noses and eyeballs and all the other stuff. I'll wonder about them sometimes. You know, how do you eat with that? But that has nothing to do with me loving them. Nothing. I'm not going to get over there and start dealing in the color. I'm not going to deal in the gender situation. Folks, that's not my job. My job is to proclaim the truth of Almighty God and get in trouble like I normally do with my Southern Baptist friends when they say, can a homosexual go to heaven? Can they, and start that stuff, and I say, if they're a Christian, they can. Woo, does that drive everybody nuts? Well, I've got news for you. I've got news for you. There's a lot of sins worse than all of that. And Jesus said this. It's the only time you will hear him call out a sin that was the greatest of sins. And that was his betrayal. And he pointed the finger. When he was talking to Pilate, his own trial, remember? And he said, you could do nothing to me. The one who turned me over to you, he has the greatest sin. So it is the rejection of Jesus Christ. So we need to be watching ourselves on there. When you got a 102-year-old mother, you go way back into the prejudices of that time. A true loving friend is a friend if you do and a friend if you don't. You go along with that? That's a true loving friend. Now, again, it's sort of like one of your children. You say, I could pull every hair in your head out for what you did. And then what do? Go, oh, for one that's late coming in. Has he ever done that yet? Yep, he has. If he ever does that, and then you're late and say, when he gets in, I'm going to beat him half to death. And then finally, he walks in the door, and you're so happy he's okay, you hug him and you raise the allowance, right? Randy, am I getting it longer? Pretty good. I'm sorry. But see, you're so happy they're alive, you don't want to kill them right at that time. You wait till the next time. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. But now I want you to go back. What kind of love, the greater love no man can have than to lay down his life for his friends? But then you will see what, but Jesus laid down his life for me, and I wasn't a friend of his. He died for those who hated him, just as much as he died for those who loved him. I don't know how to do that, but I'm glad Jesus did. John 13, verses 34 and 35. Here's your new commandment. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Folks, Jesus is talking to the church. Jesus is talking to his people. Jesus is saying, this is the way they will know that you belong to me, that you will love each other. And churches who get into fights and squabbles, what does that show to the world? What's the world looking on and saying, no, I don't want to go to that church. That's a fighting church. And then they said that about every church. And you know why? They're fighting churches. Everybody wants to get above someone else. Be careful of wanting to be in charge. Be careful, God says, for much will be demanded of you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That doesn't seem like too much to ask for, does it? Christians, love your fellow Christian. Oh, that's a little hard. That's a little hard because we're not that lovable to ourselves. The Lord didn't say that. You'd love that human being. If God allowed us to be breathing on this earth, then we have a purpose for God. John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants. Here again, the servant part and all of that day, that dealt with slaves. And we reworked the word so nobody takes offense. Gosh. No longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Think of that. Jesus says, I've come to bring the new commandment. All the law now is wrapped up in one word, love. For if you love to the depth of who you are, then you will want no harm and you will always want better for everyone else, even above for yourself. A true loving Christian friend will make known to you God's truth. If you're as a Christian, or going out with your friends who may or may not be Christian, if you're truly their friend, you will tell them God's truth. You may lose a friendship, earthly friendship, for a period of time, or maybe for the rest of the time on earth. But our love is shown by us telling our fellow man the truth. And only the truth can set us free. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed rest of the week.